Okay. Oh, God. That couples my name. Okay. So being that this is the last Thursday night share before Hanukkah, Hanukkah, of course, is Sunday night, so I thought this evening, rather than talk about something related to the Seder of Barzillation, although it's something related to Hanukkah, specifically the question of whether one is permitted to eat on any night of Hanukkah prior to lighting the Hanukkah candles. It sometimes comes up if a person is away, let's say a lot of times, let's say this Sunday is the first day of Hanukkah, or next Sunday is the second or last day of Hanukkah, and Sunday evening is the last night of Hanukkah. People go, they have Hanukkah parties and get-togethers, and someone else's house, you may not come back till late or any other night. You know, you're stuck someplace, so you're permitted to eat before lighting Hanukkah candles. So this does not appear...
After Sunday.
After the time for lighting Hanukkah has arrived. Okay, right, that's an important point. It's after the time has arrived. I'm not talking about during the day, of course, you eat, but once the time to light Hanukkah has arrived, may one go ahead and eat something, planning to light a little bit later? Or what are the issues there? So, to the best of my knowledge, it's not really discussed in the Rishonim, other than one source, there's a Sefer called the Sefer HaMinhagim, which was written, there are a number of different collections from the later Rishonim. We're talking about the late 1300s, early 1400s, I think, the later Rishonim collected the Minhagim and so on. So one of the important, and then they're quoted in the Shulchan Aruch very often by the Ramar, by other Poskim. So the Sefer HaMinhagim from Rabbi Isaac Turnow, okay, again, lived at that time, I think the late 1300s, early 1400s, he has a collection of minhagim, most of them relating to yantif and to davening and things along those lines, or a chaim type of minhagim. So in the Sefer Minhagim, he writes towards the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, he says, "Umitzah mitchilas halayla." The mitzvah begins, the earliest time of the mitzvah is a nightfall. I'm not going to ask that question now, what it means, sundown or nightfall, it's a different discussion. Mitchilas halayla, ad amud ha-shachar, any time till daybreak, okay? Aval tov lahadlik kodem achilo. It is proper, he said, that's his language, tov lahadlik. It is proper to light the candles before eating anything that evening. Okay, uva'ot shebnei habayis nurim, and when people in the house are awake. Okay, rather than lighting later on. Okay, but you light towards the beginning, when you know, right before eating, or sometime before eating, when people in the house are still awake. So in this sefer HaMinhagim, it's interesting. Because earlier in that sefer, when he talks about the minhagim of Chodesh Nisan, the Erev Pesach, we also have a mitzvah at night, namely B'dikas Chametz, right? That's the parallel, the common denominator, right? Those are mitzvahs that take effect at nightfall. So he says with regard to Chanukah Tov Lahadlik, when he speaks about Erev Pesach, he writes in the minhagim there, Orel Arbos, or the eve of the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, both Kinesa Chametz, you check, you know, the house for Chametz, B'dikas Chametz, V'lo Yochal, there's a little stronger life. Don't eat, right? By Chanukah is Tov. It's a good thing not to eat before. Here he says it in a little more forceful language, same author. V'lo Yochal, V'lo Yomo, you shouldn't even sit down to learn anything. Ad Sheivdo Kinesa Chametz, until you begin and you do the mitzvah B'dikas Chametz. So one can wonder why he has a little bit stronger language in both cases, he said it's not proper to eat before performing the mitzvah. Just say, put a little more forcefully, a little more stronger language by B'dikas Chametz than he has by Chanukah. It's possible that B'dikas Chametz is a little more concerned because, after all, we're dealing with not that B'dikas Chametz by itself is a mitzvah d'oraisa, so it's not. Okay, but B'dikas Chametz can prevent you from violating a d'oraisa. In other words, the mitzvah, that's why the Magen Avraham, for example, writes in Orech Chaim and Siman Tov Lamed Aleph, when he talks about B'dikas Chametz towards the beginning of Hilchos Pesach, the Magen Avraham and Siman Tov Lamed Aleph, Sivkot and Zayin, he has a lashon right here, towards the beginning of Hilchos Pesach. The Magen Avraham writes, he says, Mashadim Hiskel Belayla B'Israel, because the Shulchan Aruch says there, in Hilchos Pesach, I should preface that, in Hilchos Chanukah, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say anything about it. That's also interesting. In Hilchos Pesach, it's in the Tav Lamed Aleph, Sif Beis, Yizor Kol Odom Shelo Yaskel B'Shum Melacha, V'lo Yochal Ad She'Yivdok. There, the Mechaber himself paskens that you should not start any other activity or eat prior to B'dikas Chametz. And in Hilchos Chanukah, he says nothing. I don't have an answer for that. I don't know why he says not in Hilchos Chanukah about eating, but he doesn't address it. The Magen Avraham there, it's in Zion, He says, even if you have Chabbos, even if you have a set time to learn, you should learn them, and so on. Unless you're in the middle of something, we started earlier or whatever. But the Avram writes, he says, because the B'dikas Chometz have a D'oraisa. B'dikas Chometz is D'oraisa. What do you mean D'oraisa? Kolzman Shalobito. Okay, you're not allowed to own chametz on Pesach. Now you can get out of it on a deraisa level by doing what's called bitul chametz, by relinquishing or nullifying your ownership of the chametz. So then you don't own it. But as long as you didn't do that, then you better do bedika, because now we do both, right? We do bedika, and at the end we do bitul. Okay, but he's saying not that bedika's chametz per se is a deraisa, but it touches, so to speak, on a deraisa. In fact, at the very beginning, so therefore that may be why when it comes to Ner Chanukah, which Sof Kol Sof is a purely rabbinic requirement, right? There's no deraisa aspect really to Ner Chanukah at all. And Ramban discusses a little bit the possibility, but basically we assume that I'd love that Ner Chanukah is a pure drabbanon. So there, the Sefer Menhagim has a lashon tov. It's a good idea not to eat. When we're dealing with Erev Pesach and we're dealing with a possible deraisa, you don't do b'dikas chametz and you don't do bittul and you have chametz in your possession, so you're going to violate by Rabbi Yabatz on Pesach. Right? That's the very first sugya in Perek in the set of Tzachim on the Beis Manal. And this is Orlar Basar, both Kenes Chametz Larner, right? And the eve of the 14th of Nisan, you have to begin by the light of a candle. Okay, and what's the reason why? Bodkin, why? Says Rashi, Bodkin, Shalo Yavar Ola Bivayera, Bayamotse. Right, so it's a Darabanan, but it's a Darabanan which saves you, so to speak, from the Daraisa of having Chametz in your possession on Shabbos. And Tosfos says it's not for Bayera, Bayamotse. It's a different reason, a bunch of different, it's an important Tosfos for Hilchos Pesach, I'm not learning right now. But Tosfos seems to say the concern is there that you're end up eating it. And it's because you're going to do bittul anyway, so what's the problem? Right? So, yeah, but if you have it around the house, you may forget that it's Pesach and come to eat it, whatever it is. But whether you hold that the concern is like Rashi says, the Bayro, Bayamotze, or the concern is like Tosfos, you're going to come to eat the chometz, but the Darabanan, because chometz saves you from a derisive situation. So perhaps over there, the Sefer Menhagim was a little stricter in his presentation because he wants you to know, you better be careful, don't even eat, right? When it comes to the Chanukah, he says, Tov. Okay, that's certainly a possibility.
But there are much different types of mitzvah.
Yeah.
I mean, because coming to the mitzvah on you, to yourself, to watch over yourself.
Right.
Chanukah is like a pismenisa for the outside. Sort of. I mean, I know you do it for yourself.
Right.
Too, but
so we're less strict about it? I mean, you know.
So it's not really dependent on starting your evening with it.
I said, okay, it's possible. It's a different approach. I'm not going to, I won't say that that's wrong. And you have time, you can do it later. Okay, we're not as pressed. Maybe, could be. But I do want to point out, this idea seems that chametz is actually more stringent. But the truth of the matter is, it's possible to say the other way. Okay, an interesting comment to the Bachas here in Hilchos Chanukah, a comment on the tour, it's in the Tuf Reish Ayin Beis, okay, which would indicate that perhaps we should be even more concerned about the Chanukah than even about B'dikas Chometz, despite this idea that there's a deraisa touches upon B'dikas Chometz. There seems to be no real deraisa which touches, again, a simple reading on the laws of Avakas Neres Chanukah. So the Bach. Huh?
It's more serious.
Okay, well, that's the idea. That's why, and we explained, that's why, you know, it's a strong concern. I understand. Okay? But the truth is, the Bach says something interesting in the Sefer Tuf Reish Ayin Beis Or HaChaim on the tour in Os Beis towards the end. He says, Nira dafil lilmod also mishal shegias manlokas nairus. You should even sit down to learn or go to shir or something like that. Shema yitra delimudo yishkach melahadlik. You know, you'll get wrapped up in your learning, and it'll be 10 o'clock at night. You'll go to bed. Whatever, you forgot the light candles, right? Uchadin b'dikas chometz, just like b'dikas chometz. Lebesin tuf lamed aleph. He refers to what we just read. He refers to what he said, but the same sin tuf lamed aleph. Then he writes, vafilu hiskel lilmod posik umadlik nairus ukamosha kavati halacha l'sham. Even if you started learning, stop and light the candles. That's what he says. Not everyone agrees with that. We're not the one learning now. But then he says, the efsher, the afa Rabbeinu Yonah, the mekel b'chametz, mode b'ner Chanukah, the tzorach lahafsik. Okay, Rabbeinu Yonah and others on mekel with learning, if you started to learn, you can continue. Well, the Bach himself doesn't agree with that, but he's even according to that shita, that when it comes to b'dikas chametz, you can continue to learn. By Chanukah, you'd have to stop. Why? The halachad lishna miyavar hazman the regel when a shuk shuv eno madlik. Okay, he says as follows. You look carefully in the Sugya and Masechet Shabbos. So that's where, obviously, the laws of Hanukkah are found. So on Daf Chof Aleph Mebeis, right, there's no separate Masechet for Hanukkah. Okay, so the laws come in the second parak of Shabbos, parak by Memadlik, and they're talking about Shabbos candles, and they're talking about Hanukkah candles too. So the Gemara says, on Chof Aleph Mebeis, Mitzvosa in Shabbos, Mitzvosa, Mishatishka Chama, Ad Shetichla Regal Nashuk. The mitzvah is from sunset, when the sun, and again, what that means when the sun goes down or it's totally dark, it's not our topic tonight. Ad Shetichla Regal Nashuk, until there are no more people walking the streets, okay? And this one suggestion, the Gemara, it can be interpreted, and that's we'll see how that's the Rambam understands it. Or says ilo adlik madlik. That means it's telling us that you have to light at that time. Or inami l'shira, it's telling you how long it has to burn. So it's very interesting. I forgot to bring it. But the Rambam in Parak Dalet of Hilchos Chanukah Halacha Hey writes that in fact that is the time you're supposed to light. I'm in front of him, but just take my word for it. But obviously, you're supposed to light. He actually says sunset. Actual sunset, not when the stars come out, but sunset. I don't see the sunset. And he says, "Lo ma'achrin, don't delay." And you, if you didn't, and he said, he says, if you didn't light at the time of the sunset, you have until there's no more people in the streets. Which means he understands that that's the window to do the mitzvah. That if past that time, the mitzvah's over. Now many Rishonim disagree. Okay, many Rishonim don't understand it like that, but the Rambam and others say that there is a window of a half hour for this mitzvah. It has to burn for half hour, but he tells you, in other words, the Rambam will say that you have a half hour to do this mitzvah from sunset until whatever until people no longer want to. All right, so wait a little longer. Whatever he says, it's around a half hour. In those days, it's sunset, and then it got dark, and then no one was walking out because you had no electricity. All right? Question, that's a further question. What about today when there's people at all hours of the night and the day and in the street? Okay, but my point is that according to the Rambam, it's not that, you know, that's the time. That's just telling you the amount of time it has to burn. Shkia, till whatever you like. You can light later. You can light at 10 o'clock. It would have to burn for that amount of time that it takes from Shkia until there's no more people in the street, half an hour. That's one way to look at it, right? It's just telling you the shear, how long the candles have to burn. It's not telling you when to do it. It's telling you the shear. But the way the Rambam learns, okay, it's also telling you that's when you have to do it. Okay, that's when you have to do it. If it's after the time, whatever time that is, according to the Rambam, you can't fight anymore. The mitzvah's over. There's no mitzvah anymore.
So that would run out before the day.
So says the Bach, now coming back, says the Bach here in Hilchos Chanukah, he says if we hold like that Shita, okay, he says, and we don't paskin that way most of us, but he says, Efshad the Afar Menyon, the make of a Chometz, Modu Ben HaChanukah, the Tzarech LaHafzik, the Chad Lishna, in Yavar HaZman, the Regon HaShuk, Shuv Eino Madlik, in Cain, Havalei Mitzvah Veres, is a, you know, the mitzvah is going to disappear. It's a quick-moving mitzvah, okay? And Pshita and Tzorach L'Hafzik. So, of course, you have to stop learning. Now, what emerges in that Bach, that in a certain sense, perhaps, okay, you can say the same thing about eating. He's talking about learning, but we said before that we understand why the Sefer Minhagim was a little more light, a little lighter when it came to Chanukah. He just had a lesson, Tov L'Hadlik, it's a good thing. And Hilchos B'Ikos Chometz, he says, you know, not allowed, okay? But now we're saying perhaps another way. You could say the other round. You better be more careful or more diligent near Chanukah, because B'dikas Chametz, you could do it later also. Right? You're in a much longer window of time. Or Larbo, so that evening. Yeah, the proper thing, of course, is to do it right when, you know, at the beginning of the night. But if you didn't, you'd have to later. Near Chanukah, at least according to some opinions, I'm not saying we follow that, at least according to some opinion, near Chanukah, the mitzvah is going to go away. So you better not take any chances. From that point of view, that sheet in the Gemara, and that to the Rambam, and Parakalah, hey, then you have a concern that maybe makes more sense to say that you should, should light the candles. I should not eat. Not just it's a good thing. You better not sit down to eat because you're going to run yourself into trouble. So in terms of the poskim on the page in the Shulchan Aruch, so again, these didn't appear in Siman the Tuf Reish Ayin Beis. Okay, Tuf Reish Ayin Beis. The Magen Avraham writes in Sukkot Aleph, which is a tough rate time. But again, as I said, strangely enough, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say anything about not eating. I'm not sure I have a good reason why, but that's a fact. But the Magen Avraham does. The Magen Avraham writes Sukkot Aleph, but towards the end, the Magen Avraham writes, just a moment, so I can find it. Just a second. Well, I wrote quotes this day from the Hagam. Where did I write down where it came from? Okay. Oh, here it is. Okay. It's a cotton hay. I'm sorry. It's a cotton hay. He quotes, the Tov Lahadlik Kodam Achila. He quotes that say from Minhagim. It's a good thing. Okay. Tov Lahadlik. And he quotes the Marshal says even to learn and so on, that issue from the Bach. But he quotes the say from Minhagim. Okay, so Mar Avram accepts that it's a good thing, right? It's the way he said, not as strict as because chametz, but you know, but it is a good thing. However, in the Tshuvas of the Maharshal, probably not. They would say stronger, right? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, but that's what Mar Avram holds like him. But the Maharshal in the Tshuva, in the Chesal Tshuvas Maharshal Simon Pehei, the Maharshal says no. The Maharshal says at the very beginning, okay. He says it more forcefully. Once the time arrives, no eating. Right? He formulates it as you know, more of an issue of aflo limod. Okay, achi adlik. Give him hischel posek. If you started, stop. The Marshal again says the other way. Marshal says no. The Nechanukah, you better be careful. It's stronger than the way the Mogad Avraham puts it. That's how Marshal has it. Okay, the Taz also. On this same sin, he's in Sukkot Nala. Okay, I'm in the top for Ishai and Bade. The Taz also says it's stronger. He says, don't eat. Okay, it's a long Sukkot, but for our purposes, I'm not going to read the whole thing now, but that's the one the Taz also says, that it's not proper to eat. Okay, let's find the exact words. Okay, we're not going to look for it now. But anyway, there's a long Taz. We also agrees like the Maharshal that it's a stronger thing. You better not eat, and that's also how the Mishabura says. Okay, the Mishabura here in Hilchos Chanukah is all the opening Simon of Hilchos Chanukah from Tov Reishayim Beis. So the Mishabura also is in Sif Cotton Yud. The Mishabura writes. Sif Cotton Vav. Sorry. In the mitzvah, yeah. I can't read what I wrote here in my notes. So I had the right to cotton. The Mishabur also speaks about, he said there's a stronger lashon. Oh, here it is. It's Sukkot Yud, I was right the first time, yeah. The Yadle Kishne Baibai is Mukavitzon Yachad, Vafilo Lilmot Osir Mishigiyaz Manu Rekol Shekain Achilo. He's Osir. Now I learned Osir. Okay, and certainly not to learn, certainly not to eat shards of other things like that. Okay, so that's the Mishabura. So and the Hiskel Posek. So these poskim are all of the opinion that it's a stronger way, that there's actually an issue, so to speak, involved. Like I said before, I'm not really sure I understand why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say anything about it, okay, at all. Again, the Magen Avraham says it, the Taz says it, the Magen Avraham chooses the lighter approach that's told from the Sefer Minhagim, but the Mishabura, the Taz, probably based on the Maharshal, have that stronger. The question is even stronger why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say anything about it, based on the fact that when it comes to Purim, we also read the Megillah at night, right? It's in the tough phrase, Tzadi Beis, in Sif Dalid. Yeah, okay, so, and very good. But it says, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramor writes, in tough phrase, Tzadi Beis, Sif Cotton Dalid, Sif Dalid. Okay, afilo hatainis kashalav. Even if it's difficult, even fasting, unless Purim is a Saturday night Sunday, in which case you didn't fast before the Megillah reading. But Purim is on a weekday, so you have Tanis Esther leading into Purim. So the Ramo says you have to make every effort. Again, someone's very sick, obviously, but that's his lashon, and Ramo quotes it. Right, that's my point. You're not supposed to, and Ramo brings it. You don't eat. That's the thing. So why didn't he say it by Hanukkah? But the fast is actually over. So no longer a problem with the fast. Fast is technically over. As a fast, it's over when it gets dark. But now the other rule sets in. Can't eat before Megillah reading. So therefore, La Maisa, you can't eat until after Megillah reading. But that's my point. I'm saying here in Simchat Torah, Yisrael Beis, Ramor brings the practice of not eating before Megillah reading. Okay, even after the technical zman of the fast has ended, and he doesn't bring it milchus, and he doesn't bring in hilchus Chanukah. And as we saw before, in Siman Taf Lamed Aleph by Bedikas Chametz, he also brings it. So I don't know why he doesn't bring it by Ner Chanukah, unless you want to suggest again, if you hold like that Bach, like that Bach quotes from the Rambam, a very small window of time, so it's kind of obvious. You don't have time to eat. But it's an interesting question. I'm not sure. It's an open question, as far as I'm concerned. Why the Mechaber didn't mention
that?
Right. Yeah, that's the question. So why did he mention one, not the other? Okay. Now the Machzor Shekel on that Mogen Avraham, from Reish Ayin Beis, the Kotel Aleph raises the question. 1 second. Okay, I'm in agreement. Okay, 100%. It's a good thing not to eat. That's what we said. It's a good thing not. Again, the Mogen Avraham quotes Tov. Right? It only quotes the Tov, but the Machzor Shekel, I'll say it outside. Okay, but the Machzor Shekel wonders, well, 1 second. We have a rule, okay, that it's not just that you're not allowed to eat once the time has arrived, but you're not even supposed to eat a half hour before. You don't sit down to eat, okay? We have that by Mincha, we have that by other things. We'll see a couple of examples, even a half hour before. So that's what the Machzor Shekel wonders over here on this Taz, on this Mogen Avraham, okay? The Mogen Avraham, again, was in, it was in the Sinatof Reish Ayin Beis in Cotton Hay, okay? So the Machzor Shekel there says, V'lo yadati lama lo yaser chatzi shah kodem zmana, okay? I'm not sure why the issue shouldn't be in effect already half hour before. And as he's saying, I don't know why it shouldn't be. He's saying it is. Right? I mean, it means it should be in effect half hour before. Now, he does give an answer. He says, I am the in a tough pay tal, tough pay test in dal, lenient sira, the Mogen Avraham sham. Okay? Well, if we look in some tough pay test, that's the very end of Hilchos Pesach, the laws of sira sa'omer, right, which also is a nighttime mitzvah, so that's another example. Okay? So, The Ramah there writes, "Ushegia zman asur lechol ad sheyispor." You shouldn't eat before counting the Sfiras Omer either. Okay, v'afilu hisi lechol posit. If you started to eat, you stop. Okay, you count. Okay, unless you started earlier, you know, much earlier. So there again, they also talk about the half hour thing. So there, the Mogen Avraham mentions that the Machzor Shekel out of here mentions that maybe there's a difference between Sfiras Omer. Okay, and their Chanukah, because maybe that what they're talking about over there, so it's almost talking about, you know, maybe, you know, you have to daven Ma'ariv also, right? And so you're not allowed to eat before Ma'ariv, so Mela, you know, then a half hour before, you're not allowed, because you're not allowed to eat before daven Ma'ariv, before Kriyas Shema Ma'ariv. So that's included. But anyway, whatever it is, he assumes that it has to be that the chiyuv to stop eating is already in place a half hour before, and indeed the mishabura, not in the mishabura, it's in the Tofrei Shain Beis, but in the Shara Tzion Osiam Yudalad over Emes Yesh Lahachmer Beod Chatzishah Kodem. Okay, really, you should stop a half hour before. Okay, that's not what it says in the mishabura is pointing out. That isn't what it says in the text. It says you're not supposed to eat before. Even none of the posts we saw, the Marshal, who says the language, you know, those who say the language of Usher, or the language who say it's told, it's a good idea, no one says a half hour before. The Machzor Shekel says it.
Automatically mean not to start a half an hour
before. Well, that's what it looks like. That's the Machzor Shekel says. It's just a little puzzling. Nobody said it. It's the same thing, but Lemaisa, someone should have said it, right? I mean, we didn't say it. So the Mishabura suggests in the Shara Tzion, like they said, maybe Elohim Mairi b'nei Odom shemispalam arvis bizmanim in kain chatzi shor kodob alava chos mishum kriyashma. Quotes that Machzor Shekel. Okay, quotes that Machzor Shekel. All right. But, for example, those who say shkia means real shkia, sunset, well, you're not davening Mairi then. So half hour before, there's no yet iser in terms of Myra.
That's back too early.
Yeah, that's way too early. Okay, but still, Yeshach Mechatzi Shor. So he says, except for learning, he says, maybe we can rely on the other post in the learning, but in terms of eating, the iser would be included in the, you know, the half hour before. Okay, now, in terms of what exactly is usser, okay, so what is that? Can I take a glass of water? Can I have a bite of something? So in Siman Reish Lamed Beis of Aruch Chaim, which is the law by Mincha, okay, the laws of Mincha. So in Siman Gimel of Siman Reish Lamed Beis, okay, v'had the eser le'aser lechol suda k'tana hainu k'shekoveh le'suda. That means a fixed meal, huh? Similar in a way, avolit'om, just to taste something. The hainu achilas peros, he grabbed some fruits, okay? That's mutter, okay? Or, v'hu adin, lecho pas kebeitze kedev tesho adam ochel below keva, mutter. That simple sukkah is, it's as soon as keva, right? That's the idea. Okay, a small meal, a small taste of something, a little bit of something, is not a problem, huh?
Chips.
Yeah, some chips, a snack, and so on and so forth. So one of the other earlier sources that does quote this minig as well, not as early as the Sefer Minhagim I started with, but the Sefer called Yosef Omitz, which is a collection of Minhagim of Frankfurt. He lived in the late 1500s, early 1600s, so a couple of years later. Okay, Yosef Yuslahan Neulingen was named Rosh of Diana of the Yeshiva, the Kilo Kedosha Frankfurt, on mine. Okay, so he was, so here in his collection of Minhagim, in the Siman Tof Reish Samech Vov, Tof Reish, it's 1066, okay, he writes, Ein Lecho Kodim Hadlok, again, the stronger language, Ein Lecho, but the nearer the Daftis of this Kevel. Just tasting something, or filo ma'at pas derech haroi, just even a bread, but just like a snack, having a quick snack, a bite, that's mutter. Then it's interesting, in Tov Reish Sayin Sam of Zion, he mentioned that some people have a practice to fast on Erev Chanukah. Okay, why? What's Purim? We fast Tanis Esther. What's Erev Chanukah? So he says, because there are people who fast every Erev Rosh Chodesh. Okay, it's called Yom Kippur Cotton. Right, there's an Erev Rosh Chodesh. In the Siddur, they print slichas on the same Kippur cotton. So Erev Rosh Chodesh Teves, you're not allowed to fast because it's Hanukkah. Right, the one holiday that bridges or that includes the Rosh Chodesh is Hanukkah. Right, so Erev Rosh Chodesh Teves, you're not going to be able to fast. So therefore, they move the fast. So let's say Rosh Chodesh, for example, is on Sunday. Regular Rosh Chodesh on Sunday. So what do you do with the Kippur cotton? You can't fast on Shabbos. They move it earlier. Move it earlier to Thursday, right? But if what do you do here? So you got to move it earlier to before Hanukkah. So he said, those who fast, Hamisanim Erev Hanukkah, they shein mechol and sanim Rosh Chodesh, David, Nogim lecho kodesh tishka chama. They will eat something right before sunset because it's like Erev Rosh Chodesh. We're not mashim such a fast. We don't fast all the way. Anyway, according to them, it's okay even to eat more because you've been fasting all day. Okay, but be that as it may. That's another mokor that the basic issue of fasting, the basic issue to eat, it means to have a fixed, significant meal. Full disclosure. Right. It's a delay. Full disclosure, however, okay, again, looking in Hilchos Purim, okay, it's in a Tov Reish Tzadi Beis, okay, Hilchos Purim. We said that the Mechaber himself passed the Hilchos Purim that you're not allowed to eat again. I don't have a good answer why I didn't say anything by Hanukkah. But by Purim, so it's in the Tov Reish Tzadi Beis. He said that Ramo brings the practice not to eat. So the Magen Avraham there, in Sifkot Vav, writes, just a moment. Regarding eating before the Megillah. That was in Tov Reish Tzadi Beis, right? Siv Katan Zion. There, the Magen Avraham says that the mitzvah of Mikur Megillah, you shouldn't even taste anything. He says, that Mikur Megillah. He quotes other places, like when it comes to Kriyat Shema, comes to the other Chabadikas Chametz Tima, tasting is allowed. But here he suggests that it's stricter. That by Mikra Megillah, he can't even taste anything. Why? The Ikka Kriyat, he says, well, it's not so clear. Okay, but he suggests that when it comes to Mikra Megillah, Ein Lahakko other than for a Tzorach Go. So the question is, why he's so strict? And then you could say, well, maybe the same thing by Hanukkah. Okay? But the question is, why should Mikra Megillah be stricter? So some suggest that it may be based on the Tshumas Hadeshin. Tshumas Hadeshin, on a different subject, from the Kuf Tes of his Tshumas, writes that with Kriyas HaMegillah, we're afraid you'll fall asleep. Okay? Because you'll think, you have all night to do it. I'll do it later. Maybe we have that by Kriyas Shema too. I'll read the Megillah later. I'll go to the later minyan. There's one at 10 o'clock. Right, what I have to rush home from work for? I'll go to the later minyan, and then there's one that I heard someone's reading the house at 10:45. I'll go there. Then you fall asleep. You know, you have an opportunity to put it off. Okay, so Mikra Megillah, that we're more concerned about. Okay, and also Mikra Megillah may be a stronger obligation. You know, so because we have in the Gemara many things, many mitzvahs, including than other drabonans. Okay, because you know you push aside even Talmud Torah for Mikra Megillah and other things. That's a question that's only Mikra Megillah during the day. But in any event, based on this, the Magen Avraham makes a suggestion that in fact, you know, maybe it's not the same as Chanukah. But Lamaisa, I think the assumption is that Chanukah, you can certainly taste something, you can eat something. The Mishnah Berurah mentions one other important thing in regards to all these cases, but he says it in regards to Mincha. Okay? What if, what's the whole concern? The whole concern is you'll sit down, you'll get, you'll start a whole meal and have a whole, you know, and you'll forget to do whatever the mix is, right? So Mishnah Berurah writes, if you're caught in Reish Lamed Hey, but if I appoint somebody, right? That's what the Shulchan Aruch says in the Sifk Beis. Also, Hasu Lecho Chatzi Shah Samuch. Right, you're not allowed to start. It's based on a Gemara. Not allowed to start eating a half hour before. Okay, to some of us on Kriyas Rosh Harvest. Once is not supposed to start a meal before, so you won't get mixed up. You won't forget. All right. So says in the Shabur, it's Sukkot Yerches. Das Atas Vahokal was there. Okay, and only to be a little bit. Vachar Maskin Usach Shofarav. Okay, and he says the Imbikesh LeMeechad Shiaski Reno LeSpalel LeKesura. If you tell me, you appoint someone to remind you, if they tell your wife, they tell you, call me when it's time for 8 o'clock Marib or whatever, if someone reminds you, then it's okay. All right? Then, Lekha Yisur Ha'asim Lekha Afilu Kishikvar Yizman Kishma. And that justifies the practice of many of us who daven in a later minion, well, we don't need to learn. So, and one of the heterim is either we remind ourselves that because I have a kavua thing, I always come to this minion, or we have some kind of alert on the phone today or some other kind of thing to remind you, or your wife reminds you, go to Meyer, but you remind yourself. So, if you have a reminder. So, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says there with regards to davening, I said Mincha, I meant Meyer. Okay, davening Meyer. Okay, so Lechora, that should work when it comes to Ner Chanuk also. Okay, if you have a reminder that, you know, not to forget, then it's okay to eat. Right? So, Lamaisa, what I suggest to people is the following. This is what I want to mention as follows. Okay? What happens if you're going away, like I said earlier, you're going away this Sunday afternoon, you're having a family pre-Chanukah party, or next Sunday afternoon, you're having a family Chanukah party, and, you know, you're not going to get home, it's in Philadelphia, wherever you're going, by the time you get home, it's going to be very late. Okay, so what do you do? Or, I'll give you a thing, boys in yeshiva, the Rebbe is making a Chanukah party right after school. Or the school is having a Chagiga right after school. All right, then you're not going to get home until later on. So can guys eat at the Chagiga? Can you eat, you know, they usually serve latkes and donuts or whatever. So can you eat the Chagigas during the day? Okay, but if the Chagigas at night and these kids haven't come home and light little Chanukah candles. So in general, as long as someone in the house is lighting, then you're okay. All right, but let's say nobody now, all the whole family is out together, got a whole family somewhere together. So what I usually tell, and I get this question every year. Okay, yeah.
It's stupid if someone's in the house, they're lighting on the right time.
Yeah, same. So you're covered then. That covers you.
Oh, you mean, okay.
That's what I'm saying. If somebody else is home and you're just out, that covers. Okay, that's a further question whether when you come home you can light, but you've at least been covered. Okay, so I'm glad nobody's home. The whole family's going together. They're going to the mother-in-law, and you know, they come back from Queens late, and the traffic. And by the time you get back, especially now, what 4:30, 5 o'clock? It's you know, it's this time. Chanukah is always early. It's you know, it's by the time you get home, you have a wedding. Who knows what? Right? So, what I usually tell people is, I used to tell people, and I used to do it myself because I had to say it myself. I put a sign on the front door. An actual sign, Chanukah candles. We came back, and it was a reminder. So then it was okay to eat at whatever party that we get to with that. Today, you leave yourself a buzzer, all kinds of things, your phone, you plug in. And I think that's what people do. They create your own. You can have somebody else. Again, Mr. Bird wasn't aware of these types of things. So Mr. Bird just said, with regards to Meyer, have a showman, have somebody else, have another person remind you. But here you could, you know, other different ways. The first thing was this sign. The second thing is, I'm just saying that as technology progressed. Okay, I tell people, I do myself, put a sign. Then leave yourself a message on your phone server, your answering machine. Yeah, because that's also, that's for sure good. Yeah, you have a shliach. There's some talk about a shliach, what a shliach forgets, but, you know, but that's like the second stage of development was the answering machine. So I said, call yourself up, leave yourself a message on your answering machine. Because that used to be the first thing we did when we came home, we checked the answering machine, right? So they have an answering machine. Oh, reminder. Today, they don't have to do that either. Today, you have other means of reminding yourself. But I just want to mention an interesting thing, which you know may be relatable to this question. Okay, let's say you didn't do that. All right, so you know that again, not everyone agrees that it works. Okay, that's a question. I mean, it should work, but you know you could argue a little bit about it. But I wanted to bring up something else or relating to it. All right, let's say you didn't leave yourself a message or whatever. Okay, and so you're just counting yourself. You're at your family Hanukkah party. They're serving latkes and everything. So you want to eat something. So lechora, we have a din with regards to luluv in the Or Chaim Siman Tov Reish Nun Beis Hilchos Luluv. Well, no, you can't because I don't live there. It's got to be in your home. I don't live there, right? Okay, I mean that's a mistake. Sometimes people make that mistake also. Okay, people think, oh, I'll light over there, but no, you really have to light where you live. Okay, if you're sleeping over there, it's a different story. It's where you're sleeping, right? If you're sleeping over and staying overnight, that's a different story. But if you're coming back, you know, even if it's late. So in Siman Tov Reish Nun Beis, by the laws of Sukkos, so here, okay, we also have a din in Sif Cotton Bay, Sif Bays, it's only daytime now. Also, Lechol Kodem Shitlanu, is it to eat before taking a Levan HaSukkah? Now, Lamaisa, we do it during davening, okay, so we don't eat before davening, right? We take a Levan HaSukkah in the morning during davening, right? So, but let's say a person, and again, we don't relate to this, but you know, they only had a limited number of Levan HaSukkah in town. Most people didn't have one, so they have them in the shul, and people come during the course of the day to do it. So, I'm not going to do it. Everyone can't do it during davening. There's only the shua. Again, we're not accustomed to this because we all have our own lulav nesrogim today. Because again, it's much easier to get them. But in Europe, there are places you could never get an esrog. I've said this many times. I think that the average 10-year-old has held a better esrog than a vilna gaon sometimes held because they didn't have them. They're hard to get them. All right. So Zohar says also lechol kodem shiyitlenu. Okay. And, okay, so what you do is you stop, and if you're eating, the whole discussion in the Shulchan Aruch there about Lulav, which is, again, a daytime mitzvah, not a nighttime mitzvah, but the Shabur there, it's in Kotten Zion, says, U'te'ima ba'alma v'dina shari, just tasting something, a little bite, like we said before, okay? But he says, Mikol mokom ein lahokel b'zein l'tzor lo tzor godo. And now he says, U'mi shabor ba'derech b'chol ha'moed, okay? He's traveling somewhere, chol ha'moed. Okay, umitzape sheyovo lemokom haluv. Okay, and where he is, town have no luv, but he's going somewhere, an hour away, whatever. They have a luv in that town, so he knows he's going to be able to spend luv when he gets there. Okay, oh hadorim al yeshuvim. Okay, or people live out in the boondocks umishalchem and luv, and people bring them a luv. Okay, people bring them a luv, you know, because they don't have them, right? So then ein lo laham til klal. He does not have to wait for to eat before. You know, who knows when those messages are going to come? The rabbi would send out shliach to go to this house, that house, out in the farm, you know, out in the rural areas. So harei shall be shiskireno because there's a built-in person. The guys bring it. Well, when you get to the town, there's a built-in reminder when you get to the shul there. So therefore, in such a situation, the Shulchan Aruch says, you don't have to not eat until 2 o'clock in the afternoon when you get in the Levan Esrog. Okay? So, Lechora, one could say that this is the same thing over here. Okay? In other words, you're going to light Hanukkah when you get home. Right now, I'm at my friend's house, my cousin, or my grandmother's, whatever. Okay? But I'm going to come home. So it's like the guy's going to later on get a Levan Esrog. So I'm going to come home. I'm going to get a Ner Hanukkah also. All right. However, there's an interesting question or an interesting point that one could make, an additional point to be made. You see, it's a little different. In the case of Levan Esrog, fundamentally, I am chayev right now. I just don't have a Levan Esrog. But I'm chayev. If I had one, I'd be able to take it. But here, when you're in someone else's house, you're not chayev. When do we say, you're not chayev, you're not home?
Chayev, no.
No, but right now I'm not chayv because I'm not in my house. I'm not in the house. So that's what I have to mention. You look carefully in the language of the Gemara. I don't know if this is right, but it's a suggestion. The Gemara says the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is the mitzvah Ner Ish Ubeso. Okay, it's a mitzvah on a person in his house. In other words, and it's actually a discussion, Ner Ish Ubeso. Listen to this. Okay, the Taz discussed, the Marshal and the Taz. I'm sorry, the Levush. And the Taz discussed the following issue. Okay? The Levush writes in Siman Tov Reish Ayin Zion in those days. Halon bebeis goy. Okay. Oh, halon beyar. Guy sleeps out in the woods. He's staying over by a goy or whatever. He's staying in the woods. Or a guy's on a boat, and that's a boat may be different. But Tzarech lahadlik shom ulevarech. He has to light over that. He's even in the woods. That's the Levush. However, the Taz, in the same Siman Tov Reish Ayin Zion, says not true. Okay, the Taz says that there has to be a bias. It has to be based on.
Can it be your obligation now? You better get back to your house.
Oh, so, well, okay.
That's
maybe
the way you're
looking at it. That's look at it.
Only but, when you're in your house.
Okay, good. So, really, that's the question. So, should people not have plans to be away? Don't make plans to be away. But, Lemaisa, I'm away. I went at a time was mutter. Okay, I can hear your point. Maybe I hear your point anyway. But yeah, if you first left right when this man arrived. But here I went on this coming Sunday. I went Sunday after the time of Chanukah. So I'm like, oh, am I going there? Oh, now I'm there, Chanukah. Okay, but right now I'm posted. I just want you to read it from the Taz. It's a tough reason. Okay, yeah, okay, you're right. I hear that.
Early dismissal.
Yes, exactly. You got to leave to get to good time. Anyway, the Taz in the Tough Reish Ayin Zion, some cotton bays, says if you're out in the woods or whatever, you don't have to light. It's only Mishiyeshul Dira Be'ir, you have it in a place to live and so on. So the question of a guy's on a boat, or the proposal of a guy's on a train, okay? That's the point. On a boat, you have a place to sleep. On a train, does it mean only if you have a berth in the train, you know, where you can, you know, all right, you may not be able to light a candle, I don't think they'll be delighted about it. Or you're on a plane, you know, someone who can't light a candle on a plane, they'll throw you out of the plane right there. But someone suggests it's a light electric, light a flashlight on the plane. I've never seen discussion about that. But what I'm just trying to point out, I'm just saying maybe one could suggest the following. That when you are, they say the truth is, Shlomo Zalman Arbach has a whole tshuva, Chelik Beis of his tshuva, Mincha Shlomo, in Siman Nun Aleph, the whole tshuva called Bedin Bias, Lemitzvos Ner Chanukah. Okay, so he discusses this issue. One thing he says, this whole discussion about the guy in the woods and so on, that's if you're staying there, but you're staying there overnight. Basically, so I'm not at my friend's house overnight, at my grandmother's house. We're coming back later on. So what I want to suggest is that maybe I have no chiv at that hour. In other words, when I'm at my grandparents' or my mother-in-law's house, or whatever it may be, okay, I'm not obligated at that point. So I'm allowed to eat. The only isser to eat is when it's going to interfere with my performing the mitzvah. But right now, I'm not obligated in the mitzvah, right? I'm assuming not like the, certainly assuming like the time that I'm like, Levush, okay, you're out in the woods somewhere else you have to light. But I'm saying that maybe the obligation is lifted.
Maybe it's okay. Just a Rama.
You wouldn't be able to do the mitzvah, right? Yeah, you wouldn't be able to do the mitzvah. So again, we could come back to your point that therefore, in general, you know, you should not make such plans to avoid a mitzvah. But, you know, there are other things. I mean, there's discussions about that. Can you go ahead and work out something to beat the mitzvah? Okay? Let's say a guy wants to not hear the Megillah on Purim, right? He lives in Eretz Yisrael. So the 14th of August, go to Yerushalayim. That's how they read the Megillah. And then they leave, go back to Tel Aviv. 15th, when they read the Megillah in Shalom, he beat the mitzvah. Right? That's not a good idea to try and do that, but, you know, that's a question, whether you're allowed to do that or not. You know, you're allowed to, after all, I didn't do anything usher. I just worked out such. Now, sometimes we find, for example, we were discussing about tzitzis. Okay, there's a certain Amora, the Gemara says, that in the winter, you know, tzitzis are only required if you're wearing a four-cornered garment. So the Gemara says a certain, I think, Rukpina, somebody, wore a garment, this type of garment in the winter, that type of garment in the summer, none of them had four corners, so they never put on tzitzis. So he was rebuked by a malach. The Gemara says, the Menachas, that's what happened by a malach. The Gemara says, what happened to the tzitzis? What do you mean? He's not obligated. So if not obligated, not obligated. You know, he didn't do anything wrong, okay? I mean, a guy can, let's say, sukkah. You know, I'll only eat things that don't require me to be in the sukkah. I'll only eat candy bars all week or apples and, you know, and so on. So there are ways. So that's the question. Now, it may not be ashkafically or even halakhically the right course of behavior. It's not a chatchila. But lemaisa, what I'm just suggesting is another reason to be makel, okay, and certainly to rely on a shomer. Even if you want to argue that a shomer doesn't work in certain other cases or whatever, but I say here for sure, because here when you're at the other person's house, at that moment, you're not chayv in the mitzvah of Chanukah because you're not in your bias. You have the right. It's like you have no bias right now. Okay, I mean, I have a bias, but it's not here. So therefore, if I'm not obligated, I can go ahead and eat. The whole issue of eating is only when I have an obligation or an obligation is about to present itself a half hour before, and now I can't eat because it's going to possibly interfere and preclude me from doing the mitzvah. Again, I would say not to rely on that by itself. But that plus the shomer or some other reminder, a message in your phone, text yourself or something. What's that?
Menorah on your
whatever. Some kind of reminder. Right, reminds you. Everybody has their own tricks with Sira, right? They put on a fridge, on a door. Sure, absolutely. So I'm saying, so even if you argue that that doesn't always work, a shomer doesn't work, but I'm saying combine that, it seems to me, combine that with the fact that at the moment when you're there, you don't have a chiv, because in the midst of the chiv on the bias, and you're not in your bias, okay? So it's not like, right now, I'm just suggesting, right, at least according to some, right now I have no chiv. I have no chiv, so there's no issa to eat.
Maybe you could say also in the support that the nair you should say so. So those are elements that build up. So the person is mechuyav, but at the moment you're putter in general because you're not in your house.
Right. So
but this touches on relevant to the thing at all. You are.
No, so this touch on a famous chakira is Ner Chanukah a mitzvah on the house like mezuzah, or is a mitzvah on a person? So there's a lot to talk about that also. But I'm saying even before you get into the nitty gritty of that chakira, right. I can find somebody who says it, but it would seem to me that at that moment you are not chayv right now. So you're not chayv, you can eat. So again, I wouldn't lach lamaisa tell people that by itself, but together with the shomer, the person has to go to a Hanukkah party, not coming back till later on, and you're going to have a reminder, you know, that and the reminder, I think, would certainly be sufficient. Okay, I wish everybody a fairly Hanukkah. Okay, what the Shabbos almost going to look.